What is going on? Beautiful people, how we living? Happy Tuesday. We are so thrilled to have you here with us for the next 3 hours on 104.5 The Zone. Lucas, myself, we welcome your participation. 615-737-1045 is the number. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved. There is going to be a lot of involved Vols talk today. Josh Heupel is scheduled to take the podium. We will carry that press conference live for you from Hoover, Alabama. Later on this hour, he is scheduled to speak at 10:30, so adjust your radio listening habits accordingly to hear the head coach of the Tennessee Vols at his first SEC media days. Lane Kiffin also scheduled to speak. It should be interesting. Kirby Smart has gone this morning as well. But this is an important day for the University of Tennessee for a great many reasons. Now, you know, talking season, as it's called, is not necessarily the most important thing in the world. Whether the Vols live or die for the 2021 season is not decided today. Whether they achieve their projected win totals, whether they do whatever it is that you think that they are capable of accomplishing will not be decided today. But this is an incredible opportunity for Josh Heupel to present what his version of the Tennessee program is and what he wants them to represent on a national scale for the first time. This is Josh Heupel's opportunity to sell you, me, and everybody watching, listening, consuming this content, and reading the words that will be written about him after today's media availability. This will be his opportunity to sell us on Josh Heupel as the future of the University of Tennessee, at least with the football program. I have many questions that I'm curious to hear from Josh Heupel today, and I would be curious to know how you guys feel about it, what you most want to hear from your head coach. 615-737-1045, what is the most important question that Josh Heupel needs to answer for you at his press conference today? Now, we will not be able to ask him that question, but certainly Brent Doherty and Don Davenport will see it. You think Slay's going to the press conference? Because, of course, 3HL is down there in Hoover, Alabama at SEC Media Days broadcasting live. Do we think Slay goes through today as a accredited journalist on behalf of 104.5 The Zone?
Give us Slay asking Josh Heupel a question with his Boom Boom Room t-shirt.
I'm dying for it. That's what I need. I need to see Ron Slay, all 6'9" of him, standing up, being handed a microphone, where in the media holding pen in this, you know, what are they in? They're basically in a shopping mall with all of these coaches.
It's a very nice hotel.
Being prodded out or trotted out with all of the player representation that they have brought along for each of the respective schools. But yes, I need Slay wearing his media credential and a Boom Boom Room t-shirt. I need that to be the thing that we see on SEC Network as we watch it live here in the studio and get ready to hear from Josh Heupel momentarily. But more than anything, for me personally, I'm looking at this Vols season as a prove-it year. We'll talk about best-case scenarios for them. We'll tell you what their win projections are according to ESPN's Football Power Index, whatever, you know, however seriously you want to take that. More often than not, though, it seems to be a fairly accurate prediction. It's more like predicting the weather, where there's a little bit of variety in there in between, because nobody could have predicted, you know, losses like Georgia State, not to bring up any bad memories, PTSD. But with this schedule that the Vols have, with the fact that they are not just playing SEC opponents this year after the COVID season last year, what is this team capable of doing? And will they be able to surprise anybody? You know, I don't necessarily look at it in the same light as Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, where Lane Kiffin clearly has some work to do to get that program back on its feet. But what did they do in 2020? They made life hard on the Alabamas of the world. They had an offense that was fearsome enough to overcompensate for a defense that could absolutely stop nobody. Sound familiar? This is going to be the same kind of perspective that I look at Josh Heupel through. Now, Lane Kiffin, much more accomplished as a coach, as a coordinator, than Josh Heupel has been in his career. That's not necessarily a slight against Heupel. It's just where Lane Kiffin has been and the opportunities that Lane Kiffin got at a younger age. And I'm not doing comparisons between Kiffin and Heupel today, even though both have coached at the University of Tennessee, or one will coach at the University of Tennessee. The other one largely got out of town in a hurry. But today is the opportunity for Heupel to sell you, me, and everybody in between, if he hasn't done it already. Maybe you're going into this optimistically. Maybe you're saying, okay, give me the benefit of the doubt, or give Heupel the benefit of the doubt. Let me trust his offensive acumen. Let me look at his previous body of work and understand that what the Vols needed most was an offensive rebirth, for lack of a better term. Competent quarterback play. More than competent quarterback play, in fact. Proficient quarterback play in the world of college football, when that's not necessarily the hardest thing to find. They do have inadequacies. Nobody is going to lie to you today and tell you otherwise. You know this. You're realistic. But today, there are critical questions that Josh Heupel has to answer about the future of his program, and we'll get into that at greater length. We'll have the Heupel press conference later on in the show for you. In fact, later on this hour, as we await him at the podium down there in Hoover. Former Vols quarterback Jonathan Crompton, one of my favorites, and one of your all's favorites in terms of analysis, will join us later in the show as well. But it's all Vols all the time today, and we're excited to be able to bring you that coverage, because that means that college football season is right around the corner. Talking season means precious little, but it does mean that we're one step closer. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. We'll continue to get your reaction. I want to know from you guys, 615-737-1045. What's the most important question that Josh Heupel has to answer today? We'll get into that coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone.
America takes a moment to reflect on the birthday of one Buck Rising. In the year 2021, the Buck Rising Show was born. Oh yes, and if you haven't heard, Buck got verified by Twitter. Blue checkmark Rising. I'm sure he'll find something to bitch about during his show. So sit back, enjoy the ride. Happy birthday, Buck Rising. Let's wish him all a good one today.
Why are you guys so good to me, man? I don't deserve that at all. That's incredibly kind of you and Rhett Bryan and everybody that's been decent enough to wish me a happy birthday today. That's why the crown is sitting on the microphone. I couldn't put it over my headphones. I tried. I've got a birthday sash in the studio. I didn't put it on because it says, you know, there's profanity on it, and I didn't want to get us all fired on my birthday, Lucas, so you're welcome.
Thank you.
But yes, I 28 years old today, and, you know, going on 65. Are you surprised that I didn't lead with it? I was going to try and avoid it, honestly, today, despite, you know, the crown sitting on the microphone. But I'm incredibly grateful. I'm so happy to be able to spend my birthday here with you guys, and nothing makes me happier than to be able to talk about football and to hang out on the radio and to interact with all of our great listeners. Whether it's on, you know, whether you guys want to call in, whether you want to hang out with us in the studio on Zone TV, we are so appreciative for everything that you guys do to make this so much fun. So thank you for that. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved. And here's what I'll promise you, because it's going to be all Vols all the time, basically the rest of the way through. It is the last time that I will mention my godforsaken birthday. I am so sorry that I am the way that I am, but today is the last day, I promise you. And in fact, this will be the last time, because I wouldn't even let Lucas make a poll question out of it. I said it's too much. I've got the crown. I've got the sash. I've been dramatic about this for the better part of, you know, 3 months. So today it finally ends, and we will be able to move on with all of our lives. I'm sure everybody's happy to hear that. So let us, in fact, move on. Again, Josh Heupel, the press conference from SEC Media Days, coming up next. And thank you to all of you who are wishing, who are sending birthday wishes in the comments on Zone TV. If you're hanging out with us on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitter, I see all of you. I don't have the opportunity to respond to all of you right now, but I will get to you during the commercial break and respond in kind, but it's very much appreciated. Just know that I see all of them. So, with the situation in Hoover, Alabama today, again, Josh Heupel will be at the podium. We are anticipating that he will speak to the assembled media, 3HL included, at 10:30 this morning. We'll carry that for you live. The question that we pose to you is, what question do you most need Josh Heupel to answer today? Now, that is one that I did have Lucas put on a poll at Buck Rising, is where you can vote on them. It's very early. We're about an hour into the poll question so far. Lucas, what kind of responses are we seeing from the people? Because I do have a few in the Zone TV chat that I can get to as well.
Skiddly Bob says, I need to hear some signs of intelligence. One thing I learned from Pruitt is if he sounds like a dumb hillbilly, he's probably a dumb hillbilly.
Easy. Skiddly Bob. What a name.
But honestly, there is something to be said for Tennessee fans that just want their coach to sound intelligent at the podium.
So, I mean, Heupel is very polished. He's not Jeremy Pruitt. He's comfortable. You know, I watched him on, SEC Now this morning. He seemed very at ease. Going back and forth with he fills in for Paul Feinbaum all the time.
Peter Burns,
and Chris Doering were the hosts this morning, and they interviewed Heupel on the tarmac, leaving Knoxville, getting ready to head to Hoover for this morning's media availability. And he sounds very at ease. He sounds very comfortable interacting with the media. This is something that is not new to Josh Heupel and Pruitt. Pruitt, I don't know how intelligent or unintelligent Jeremy Pruitt was, right? I know how he sounded, and I know that, but honestly, I feel like that endeared him to a lot of people out of the gate, right? Even though Jeremy Pruitt is from Alabama, and that immediately is a black mark against you in the state of Tennessee, I feel like Pruitt was relatable until he wasn't. Am I off base on that?
No, you're right. Until things started to go poorly, Tennessee fans didn't really take issue with the stuff that he said at press conferences. You're absolutely right. Even though he was an Alabama guy, there was a very much a one of us type of feeling, especially after the heels of a Butch Jones, kind of a Midwesterner guy who didn't say Vols appropriately the first time around.
What, did he say Vols?
Yeah, something like that. I remember Donnie Tindall, the basketball coach, Donnie Tindall. He didn't say Vols correct one time in his flash in the pan 1 year at Tennessee. But no, there is very much a one of us feeling to Jeremy Pruitt until things started to go bad. Now, taking a step back, national media guys, sort of that perspective, I think that was kind of the opinion of him from the start. There was nothing endearing about Jeremy Pruitt to the college football reporter wondering if he's going to be successful.
The college football cognoscenti, right?
Right.
The meeting of the minds. Or, I mean, so, you know, book smart, do you care about your football coach that way? No, because what Doc Scurlock 83 says on YouTube, an intelligent coach, ? Is that what we want at Tennessee? I mean, yes, of course you do. You want it. Well, but what you here is where I question. I won't say his intelligence, Jeremy Pruitt, the predecessor of Josh Heupel, obviously, who was fired for cause and left in great shame, but now found himself in the NFL for reasons unbeknownst to me. So it can't be that dumb. But where I questioned his, not intelligence, but his acumen as a football coach was in game, was the decision-making in game, was the way that he handled specifically the quarterback situation. And listen, he did manage to navigate some rocky waters with a quarterback in Jarrett Garantano who had a moment that could have completely damned the program and what's the word that I'm looking for? Sullied the locker room if Pruitt did not handle that situation correctly.
Talking about the Alabama game?
Correct. Where JG has the moment where he improvises, it blows up in their face, he goes to the sideline, and Pruitt lays into him as any, you know, rightfully so, because that was the, and listen, they would have probably lost to Alabama anyway. Nobody is sitting here saying that Tennessee would have been able to pull off that upset as you know, as much as you might want to do the analysis in retrospect that way. But the way that Pruitt handled JG in that moment and moving forward, And then they finished as strongly as that they did that season. They beat my Indiana Hoosiers in a bowl game, and everything seemed cherry on Rocky Top, right? There were signs of growth. There were signs of life. They looked to be having fun.
They had the second longest active win streak in college football at the time.
Correct. Correct. But then we saw how quickly that devolved when there was legitimate expectations of him, when he was put to the test, and really tested early by how mentally sharp he had his team, talking about Jeremy Pruitt. What we will know, we will not spend much more time on Pruitt because there is a new head coach on Rocky Top, Josh Heupel. He is at his first SEC Media Days, and we will carry that press conference live for you from Hoover, Alabama. It's coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. So, Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC, is making his way to the podium at present. One would think that he is preparing to introduce Volunteers head coach Josh Heupel back here on 104.5 The Zone. We are preparing to carry this press conference live for you from Hoover, Alabama, courtesy of the SEC Network. They're putting out the best percentage chances to win the SEC East right now. Georgia at 72, Florida 20, Kentucky 4%, Missouri 2%.
Who does that leave?
That would leave the University of Tennessee at 1%.
They left out Vanderbilt.
Well, I don't think they're doing fractions. I don't think they're willing to put decimal points on percentages.
Well, best chance to win SEC title graphic up right now. Auburn, less than 1% chance.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, I guess Auburn's going to look a lot different this year. I did not have the opportunity to watch, or I guess Brian Harsin will speak later in the week. So I have not yet seen or really read much on Brian Harsin. I know Dawn Davenport's probably been studying up on him a great deal given her Auburn allegiances. But what we are, again, just to reset, what we are expecting from Heupel today is the ability for him to sell us on this program, you, me, and everybody in between. It's going to take some salesmanship, let me tell you. Here he comes to the stage right now, Josh Heupel, the head coach of the University of Tennessee, and we will hear from him shortly on how he plans to rebuild expectations from a 3-7 season.
Morning. Hope everybody's doing great. So excited to be here. First SEC Media Days. Excited to get a chance to see you guys in person for the first time. I've done a lot of Zoom calls with you here over the last 6 months for sure, and maybe longer than that. But excited to be here and have an opportunity to represent Tennessee. I hope you guys have had a great summer. My wife and I knew in coming to Knoxville that it was going to be a special place to live for our two kids, 13 and 11, Hannah and Jace. Through the month of June, obviously, recruiting was a busy time, but here in July, we've gotten a chance to really partake and enjoy Tennessee lifestyle and Tennessee living. It's been great to connect with the community. You know, whether that's in Knoxville, floating the river, or jumping on the boat in the lake and hitting some of the trails, or going up to the Smoky Mountains and floating down the river with our kids, it's been a lot of fun. And shoot, my daughter has picked up the game of golf and has been knocking the cover off it. And those of you that know me know that I'm not much of a golfer, but she's been able to swindle me out there and get me on the course a little bit. Appreciate this opportunity. It's great to be back in the SEC. As a player, as a coach, I've always admired this league. This league believed in what it is, the strength of it from top to bottom, the number of talented players that you're able to recruit to this brand and compete at the highest level. And it's been a lot of fun being back in here. I'm honored to be the head coach of Tennessee football. This is one of the great and iconic logos in all of college football, steep in tradition. It's a great honor to be the caretaker of Tennessee football at this time, and really proud of what our players and our staff have done in 6 months, and just couldn't be prouder and really excited about getting back onto to the football field. And as we talked today a little bit, just had a lot of fun getting to know the former players at Tennessee,
connect with the community and this great iconic logo, be able to put a new age approach on it while celebrating all the great traditions that are Tennessee football. The first priority when I and our staff got to Tennessee was about relationships, and it still is today. That'll be the foundation of everything that we do inside of our program. But that came through a conversation with our players. The first night I got hired, I had about an hour and a half meeting with them, and one of the things that I realized that they recognized that they wanted and needed was connection. And that's why we spent an inordinate amount of time as a staff connecting with our players and getting to know them, their strengths, their struggles, their greatest triumphs, the hardships that they've faced, and have had a lot of fun in doing that. In recruiting, over the last 6 months, our staff has put a ton of time and energy into developing those same relationships with recruits. And we've started inside out in our footprint here in Tennessee and then gone across the country. It's one of the great things about the logo is the ability to recruit from coast to coast. And our staff's done a great job of developing those same relationships with parents and families and really got an opportunity to connect with them in June as they were able to get on campus for the first time. And the third group of people that we've really tried to connect with is our VFLs, our Vol for Life. And you look at some of the great players in college football, they've worn the power T, and the ability to welcome them back, embrace them, and for them to give back to our current players and know that this is their home forever has been something that's been fun to start building again. And you're talking about some of the great players that have ever played the game. And Reggie White, Peyton Manning, T. Martin, Alvin Kamara, Charles Davis, those are just a handful of guys that are celebrated at Tennessee, and for those that are still living have been able to come back and be a part of our program. That ties into the type of program that we want to have and we will have at Tennessee. We want to be innovative, but we want to have fun. And I believe in the player experience. Having played the game at the highest level and been able to hoist a trophy as a player, chasing that championship is something that you'll never forget. That's a journey that you'll never forget. But those relationships are really important as well, and we want to live those things out every single day. That's why we've spent so much time building that inside of our program, inside of our walls. From the time that I've gotten there, if you've followed us at all, you've seen us, whether it's dodgeball after a 6:30 morning workout on a Friday afternoon, whether it's a crawfish boil followed by kickball after a summer workout on a Tuesday evening, you've seen us spend time with our players. And that pays forward once we get on the football field. I believe that connection matters when you face adversity, that you know the person that's standing to the next to you, left or the right, and you can depend upon those people. And that also plays into how we've embraced the NIL, name, image, and likeness. You look at, I just look back on my career as a player and the opportunities that would have been afforded to me while I was playing, not just when I got done. I think there's a unique opportunity for players to embrace that, for programs to embrace it, to educate our players, for them to take advantage of it, and for them to grow. I think Grant Furking, one of our wide receivers who currently runs a business while he's a student athlete as well, said it best when he said, this is an opportunity for our players to grow and have awareness of their brand and who they are and what they're trying to accomplish long-term in life. And they get an opportunity to do it from the moment that they step foot on campus. And there's not a better place in America to do that than Knoxville, Tennessee. Top five in every social media platform. You look at followership. You look at the city of Knoxville itself within this league, one of the most prominent cities. You're looking at national and worldwide headquarters that are located in Tennessee or in Knoxville. It's a special place to come play college football, and everything and anything that you want to do in the game and outside of the game has been done at Tennessee and will be done again. And finally, before I open it up to questions, I'm going to talk about the way that we want to play, and I think a lot of people get caught up in the offensive style of football, and certainly we want to play fast with tempo, but as an entire football program, we want to play fast and be physical. But when I say the word fast, I'm talking about in the way that we play, not just from play to play, but how we play the play. And to do that, you got to be able to put your kids in a position to understand what they're doing, to unlock their natural opportunities of who they are, their physical capabilities, and let them go play. You look at the last three national championships,
championships offensively. I think every team has averaged over 520 yards on offense. You look at what we've been able to do in our track record as a staff at the previous two stops at UCF and at Missouri, top five in basically every offensive quarter category the last 3 years. The 2 years previous to that, while we were at Missouri, led the league in total offense. This is a quarterback-friendly offense that's going to allow us to play and apply pressure to defenses every single Saturday that we put that we step on the football field. And obviously, we understand that in this league, the line of scrimmage is extremely important too. But I think the tempo on the offensive side of the ball gives us the ability to create an advantage in that aspect. We got to continue to recruit and develop big, large people up front that will change the line of scrimmage as we continue to play. And we got a great amount of guys that are coming back on both sides of the line of scrimmage, offensively and defensively, from last year's football team that have an opportunity to be a strength for us. Defensively, we've hired an experienced staff. Coach Banks, you look at his track record, everywhere that he's been, the ability to create negative plays over his track record at Penn State. We're going to play physical. We're going to play fast. We're going to be aggressive defensively. And he's done a great job of incorporating a multiple scheme. Our kids have grabbed onto it, latched onto it, understand it. And I think that's going to allow them to play fast and free when we get to Saturday afternoons. I know that I'll get asked this question in a little bit, but you know, we were hit by the transfer portal certainly before I got to campus. But that's been a double-edged sword. And I say that meaning that we were able to add eight guys after spring ball through the transfer portal as well. And I think as we've gone through this summer and we get into training camp, those guys are going to have an opportunity to help us out as we get on the football field this fall. I appreciate the opportunity to be in front of you. Excited about getting to training camp here in a week or so with our players. Excited to run out of the tunnel on September 2nd and make that right-hand turn behind Smokey and ready to play in front of 103,000 in Neyland Stadium. So with that, I'll open it up to questions for you guys.
Thank you, Coach. If you have a question, please raise your hand. Abby, Christian, and Catherine will come. We ask that you give your name and affiliation, and please stand as you can so we can see you from the podium here. So we're going to start over here on our left-hand side alongside the wall.
Hey, Josh, Vince Ferrara, 99.1, the Sports Animal in Knoxville. You brought up the transfer portal, so could do a first opportunity to talk to you since some of those guys have come on campus. Can you hit on some of those guys, what you're getting on those players that are coming in?
Absolutely. RSID and I had a bet what was going to be the first question. I tried to hedge off the transfer portal before it got started, but I'm glad you came right back to it. It is. Obviously, our roster changed, right? By the time that I got there in late January, there were a large number of kids that were in the transfer portal. At the same time, we've been able to add really quality individuals inside of our program. We love the player, right? But we love the person, too, and what they're bringing as far as a culture piece inside of our program. Some of those kids we've had relationships with, whether it was a coach being at a previous school and having known them, who they are every day, or it was myself or other staff members that had recruited them coming out of high school. So feel really good about what we've added. A majority of those guys we really feel like are going to play meaningful snaps right from the get-go when we kick off in September. A handful or a couple of those guys, I should say, are guys that are going to have to earn it, like they all will, but guys are going to develop in our program. I think for us long-term, one of the benefits of the eight pieces that we've added here after spring ball is that a majority of those guys have multiple years and we'll be able to help our roster as we move forward as well.
We'll go over to the right side on the near aisle.
Ryan LaVoy, Sports Call Auburn. Coach, obviously this program about 20 years ago was used to competing for championships, and it's gone through a lot of coaches the last 10 or 15 years trying to get it back to that. How big do you think the chasm is from where the program is now to where it was then, and what is your vision for getting it back to that?
If you go by wins and losses, right, we're not where we need to be, for sure. But the only time constraints you put on that are ones you put on yourself. I have a
a different perspective a little bit maybe of the opportunity that is Tennessee football. And I say that from my playing experience. I went to Oklahoma when they hadn't been to a bowl game for, I think, five straight years, right? When you get the right alignment from president to chancellor to athletic director to head coach and you hire a great staff and you're consistent and you're accountable, I feel like you have an opportunity to move things forward quickly. And there's certainly challenges that we face as a program, but there's great opportunities. And that's why I came to Tennessee. This is Tennessee. This is one of the iconic programs in all of college sports and all of college football. We get an opportunity to celebrate the great traditions while I put a new age approach on it. And our kids and our staff, they're all there because of that, right? They chose the Power T for those reasons. Our staff chose the Power T for those reasons. We're going to go out and compete every single day and push forward.
We'll go in the center section about six rows back right in front of the podium.
Hello, Coach Jerai Hamilton, Tuscaloosa News. The third game in October, you know, versus Alabama, it's been a long time since Tennessee has been able to defeat them. So, for one, what have you been told in the community about how important that game is, and what will you be doing to, you know, try to rectify that and get a win versus them?
Yeah, certainly. That ball game's huge to the fan base and to our players, right? I'm on both sides of it. You come to Tennessee to play in games like that. This fan base loves football. They breathe it 365 days out of the year, man. If it's recruiting, they care about recruiting. If it's spring ball, they care about what's going on the field. That's the challenge for us moving forward. But it's not about just one game this fall as we move forward, right? Our players understand that we're only as good as our next performance, right? And for us as a coaching staff and players, we have to take a one-day approach at it. And that means we can control today. We can't control 3 months from now. We can control today if we take care of today and follow that up consistently. We're going to put ourselves in the best position to get where we want to go long term.
Coach, we're going to go over to our left-hand side alongside the wall. Mike.
Coach Mike Bianchi, Orlando Sentinel. How you doing?
Great to see you.
Anything you miss about Orlando, and also how much different is it recruiting in the SEC maybe than it was at UCF?
I miss seeing you, Mike. All right. That's what I miss. Now, my wife, our family, you know, I'll speak for our staff too, the guys that came with from the previous stop. It's a special place. It's got a great future ahead of it. This was a special opportunity, a unique set of circumstances that felt like it was the right opportunity. But Orlando's a great place, man. If we miss one thing, it would be the beach that's 45 minutes away.
Coach, we'll go in the center section along on the right-hand side. White hat.
Coach, Drew DeArmond, WZZN Radio, Huntsville, Alabama. You played the quarterback position at a high level. You were an impact transfer for Bob Stoops at Oklahoma, so I know you evaluate the position thoroughly. Talk about adding Joe Milton, and what did you see out of your quarterbacks this spring, such as a Harrison Bailey, that made you still want to add to that QB room in your first season?
Competition's the greatest friend that any coach has, right? You have to have it in that room. It's going to drive the players inside of it when you're not around it. And to me, Joe's got a unique skill set. Strong arm, accurate passer. I think he's a very bright young man that's picked up on what we've done so far really well. He's talented. He can spray the football field from sideline to sideline and vertically and has a unique skill set with his size and mobility to use his feet as a weapon as well.
Which we're going to go right down in front of me about six rows back right here in the center section.
Ryan Shumpert, Rocky Top Insider. You've talked about doing things with a new age approach. Just what does that look like?
It's going to take a lot of different forms. It's the way that we communicate inside of our building. Every interaction that we have with players, with staff, with janitors, it doesn't matter who it is, creating and harnessing energy inside of our building. I think that's a really important thing that we've tried to build with our VFLs, too, is harnessing that energy and creating positive momentum that surrounds our program where our kids feel that every single day. It's the way that we interact with them outside of the game. The things that I've talked about and that we've done with our players in the 5.5 months that we've been here. As we move forward, it may be different opportunities as far as what the uniform looks like when you run out on the field. Man, look good, feel good, play good. And we want to create a positive player experience from the moment that they step on campus until they're done, but have a long-term relationship with them that lasts forever.
Coach, we'll go over here to the left-hand side.
Eric Kane, the Sports Animal. I know a lot of positions are open in camp, specifically the quarterback position, as we already mentioned. How long until you start cutting down those reps and start singling down, two guys, one guy, three guys, whatever the case may be? How long in the camp?
Year one, I mean, there's competition at every spot. There's no job that's secure at this. You got to go earn it every single day, and that's the rule in college football no matter what. You have to earn the right to get a rep, earn the right to prove that you're going to be on that football field and that we can trust you. I think the quarterback position is, it's really important that every other member of your team, offensively and defensively, see that that guy has earned the opportunity to be your quarterback. When there's a bad play, and there will be at some point, they got to know that that's the right guy for them that's leading that football team. And that only comes through time. And so as we move, guys are going to earn more reps. Guys will earn less reps. Once they've done that, we're going to move at that rate. And obviously, we'll have a starter before we get to kickoff. And looking forward to that competition.
Coach, we'll go to our right alongside the near aisle.
Hey, Josh. Adam Luck at Kentucky Sports Radio to your right here. You mentioned line of scrimmage in your opening remarks, how it's kind of different in the SEC.
Yeah.
We hear that a lot. What makes it different in this league, and how difficult, I guess, is it to build that? And then secondly, you've been out of the league a few years. As you kind of dig into the tape, is there anything like schematically that's really changed that's kind of caught your eye?
Having been in the Big 12, this league, and then having been in the AAC, the line of scrimmage is different. And it's the size and the length of the bodies, you know what I mean? Up front, inside, it's their girth, you know? On the edges, it's their ability to have length and speed. I think that is the difference in the league, or the number one thing that jumps out to you. And you can tell that just by the NFL draft, right? The number of bodies that get drafted up front in particular across the board in this league. I think that speaks to what you're saying is the difference in the league, certainly. Was there a second part of your question, I think? I don't think dramatically there's anything. I think there's ebbs and flows in everything that goes on in college football, from being more 12 personnel to being spread in 10 personnel. If you look at us offensively, that's one of the things that we take great pride in, is being able to be multiple but change with what we have on campus. And that might mean four wide receivers. It might mean two tight ends. It's whoever's going to compete and play at a championship level.
Coach, we'll go right in front of me about three rows back. Center section.
Coach Theo DeRosa, Commercial Dispatch, Columbus, Mississippi. You mentioned those eight transfers after spring ball. One of them is Javonte Payton, a wide receiver from Mississippi State. What kind of player can he be for you guys this fall?
Just watching him, strength and condition, he's fast, he's explosive, he's got a natural set of hands. I really feel like he's got an opportunity to compete and earn a spot and be a difference maker for us this fall. He's experienced, and I think that's important too. And just that wide receiver room, we have a little bit of age on the top, but we're really young underneath. And so his experience, having played in this league, I think is important for us and was an important piece for us to add this spring.
Coach, we'll go over to our left-hand side in the middle second.
Hey, Josh. Ben McKee with Swain Event and VolQuest.com. Wanted to ask you about the transfers on the defensive side of the ball. I believe you have two at each level of the defense. Is there anything special you all will do during fall camp to try to improve on the cohesiveness or get them to gel together, or will you just kind of let fall camp just run its natural course? And then who are some of those defensive transfers that have stood out to you so far?
In particular, we were hit in the transfer portal on the defensive side of the football, and it felt like it was important that we added depth and experience on the defensive side of the football coming out of spring ball. And we were able to add a couple of bodies at each level. We kind of pinpointed that going into the process as we got probably midway through spring and felt like we had a handle on what our depth looked like. I really do feel like all of those guys are going to have an opportunity to compete and play meaningful snaps for us this fall.
We're going to stay in that same session. Edgar?
Yeah, Coach, Edgar Thompson with the Orlando Sentinel, serving as Mike Bianchi's mouthpiece here. Because you didn't get to the part about what's the difference recruiting at UCF versus recruiting in the SEC.
Yeah, I think in some ways it's earlier here on the top part of your board. I think that is probably the biggest difference between the two.
Okay, we'll go center section along the right-hand aisle.
Austin Stanley, A to Z Sports Nashville. With the fast-paced offense, how do you balance keeping that up-tempo style without wearing out your defense and keeping that in mind?
I think it's important that you balance it while you're going through practice. We have ebbs and flows in how we communicate and what type of tempo we play with during the course of practice. I think it's important that you manage the game and manage end-of-half situations extremely well and understand that there's a pressure that you can apply by scoring too quickly or moving the ball too quickly at certain points in the game. And so you're trying to eliminate a possession or two by the way that you play at the end of those halves.
We're going to go to the center section, the long end, the left-hand aisle.
Straight. Hey, Josh. Dave Matter with the St. Louis Post-Dispatch here in the middle. Do you feel more prepared, more equipped for this job than compared to when you left Missouri for UCF, your first head coaching job? And if so, just how exactly?
I think you grow with every experience that you have as a player, as an assistant coach, as a head coach. This job is different than the job that I took over at UCF, and every job is different, whether it's your recruiting base, your conference, your location, the university. There's so many factors that go into it. I think that I obviously have grown over the course of my 3 years in being able to communicate and build a program from the bottom up.
So we'll go down front here on the left.
Hey, Coach. Madison Blevins here with WBIR-TV in Knoxville. You say it's a quarterback-friendly offense. We've definitely seen that in the past, passing for upwards of 300 yards per game. But in the SEC, we also know that the run game is just important. So I just want to know how the running backs fit into your system.
Yeah, I think that's the misnomer about what we do offensively. You look at when we were at Missouri, I think we set a Power 5 record for a fewest amount of zero negative yard plays and then reset the record the following year. When we took over at Missouri, they were 125th in the country in total offense. We ended up leading the league for two straight years in total offense. We're very balanced in our approach. You look at our numbers, run and pass, we're extremely balanced. And so our ability for us, it really starts with the run game. And it starts with the five guys up front, your tight ends if they're playing, they're located in the core, and then our running backs have to be great with football in their hands. That is a position that we're relatively young at. We're hitting by the transfer portal, but really like the guys that we have on campus.
Okay, we have time for one more question. We'll come up here to the front here with Bob.
Hey, Bob Holt, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You obviously work with Barry Odom at Mizzou. I was wondering what you think of Barry. He's obviously still in the league at Arkansas. Just kind of what you think about him. And I know you don't face each other this year, but maybe watching game tapes, getting ready for this job. What you thought of what he did at Arkansas last season?
Yeah, bright, passionate, extremely competitive, tough, disciplined. Those are the things that he brought while I was there at Missouri. Just watching him from afar at Arkansas, I thought they took strides as the year went on defensively.
Coach Heupel, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was Josh Heupel, Vols head coach at the podium at SEC Media Days. There's one question that nobody asked. We're going to talk about it coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone.